Okay, I can see that when I call somebody on Skype, the music stops. The music stops instantly. So I'm going to have to bring Pastor Steve in here.
I'm
hoping to do a transition with the music fading out, but...
I am here.
Okay. All right, let me see if I can bring Greg Howard in. Okay.
Okay.
And, okay, I'm trying to find his... here we go. All right, and if this doesn't work, we only get one chance at it. And if
I
this
see the... Greg smiling face.
Yeah, that's because I'm calling him. And I'm going to get my Bible. Okay, he's not answering. So we can just pick it up where we left off last week. Well, welcome, folks. Yahweh's covenant people. And we're doing this study. I believe this is going to be part 7 of the second Esdras. And we were in chapter 4 last weekend. And we got almost through chapter 4. I did talk with Greg earlier today, and he said he'd be with us tonight, but something must have come up.
Oh, well.
So he said the fish were biting.
Right. Verse 44 of chapter 4.
Yes. All right. And so if he calls into this show, I can bring him in that way. And but I can't call him again. Skype only gives you one shot. All right. So verse 44, you say?
Yes.
Okay.
I take notes.
Right. Well, why don't you pick it up? And I'll follow.
All right.
I'll follow.
Then
up.
Answered I and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, and if it be possible, if I be meet, therefore, in other words, worthy."
Okay.
Greg Howard just popped up online.
Okay.
Greg, if you are listening,
Yeah, he's babysitting, so he may not be able to join us there. So we'll see.
Show me then whether there be more to come that is past, or more past than is to come. Verse 46, what is past I know, but what is for to come I know not.
We wish we did.
And he said to me, stand up on the right side, and I shall expound the similitude unto you, the similarness, okay?
Yeah.
So I stood and saw, and behold, an hot burning oven passed by before me. And it happened that when the flame was gone by, I looked, and behold, the smoke remained still. Verse 49, after this, there passed by before me a watery cloud, and sent down much rain with a storm, and when the stormy rain was past, the drops still remained. Verse 50, then said he unto me, consider with yourself, as the rain is more than the drops, and as the fire is greater than the smoke, but the drops and smoke remain behind, so the quantity which is past did more exceed. It was more than you saw.
Okay. Yeah.
Verse 51. Then I prayed and said, may I live, thank you, until that time? Or what shall happen in those days? 52. He answered me and said, as for the tokens of which you ask me, I may tell you of them in part. But as touching your life, I am not sent to show you, because I do not know it.
Well, it's like consulting a witch, you know. When am I going to die, right? People want to know this. That's why they go to, palm readers and what have you?
Yeah,
go at astrologers. They want to know things.
They look in all the wrong places, right. And it says, we don't know the time. Only Yahweh knows the time. Well, everybody wants to know when Christ is going to come back.
Yeah.
Christ was not even allowed to tell him.
Yeah. So even Ezra was curious about his own end.
He was a man too.
Yes, right.
He was a man too, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. So the angel was forbidden to tell him that information. In fact, the angel says, I do not know, so I can't tell you.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, chapter
and now
5.
Now we're in chapter 5. And it continues on with verse 1. Nevertheless, as coming the tokens, behold, the day shall come that they which dwell upon the earth shall be taken in a great number. And the way of truth shall be hidden, and the land shall be barren of faith. Does that ever describe now?
Yes.
Does it not?
Well, here, because we were talking about the Middle Ages and the Reformation, and even in old Israel, there was always a measure of faith. You know, I'd say the vast majority of Israelites had some sort of faith. They were believers, right? They may not have been good believers. They may not have been righteous believers, but they were believers. Okay, they believed in Yahweh. In Middle Age time, they believed in the doctrines of the Catholic Church. They had faith, and ultimately the church spoke in the name of Jesus, and they believed in Jesus. Okay, they just believed the wrong things about Jesus, right? But today,
there's a great deal of deception among these well-meaning Christians who have been lied to very convincingly by the Judeo-Christian doctrine, and it's across all the churches. There's some different little things, but mostly the Jews are God's chosen people.
Right.
We're all brothers. Everybody's included. Everybody's welcome. Homosexuals are okay. They can be saved. Jews can be saved. kumbaya, kumbaya.
Well, like,
I mean, they'll have different takes on it,
sure,
according to denominations, and they'll fight among themselves, creating further divisions, which is the whole point.
Yes.
The whole point goes back to what happened with the Satan and Job. He tried all these things to break Job's faith.
Yes.
And he's trying all these things to break the faith of true Israel. He's got them distracted in the Judeo-Christian churches. They don't have real solid ground. And when thing gets really ugly and the Jews start attacking the Judeos, which they will.
Well, they have started. D. James Kennedy, core religion. Yeah.
A lot of those churches are going to break faith.
That's right. That's right.
They're just going to throw up their hands. I quit. I give up.
Right. Yeah. We believe the Jews are God's chosen people for umpteen thousand years, and now it doesn't appear that that's true. What do we do now?
Well, right. I mean, if they have really suckered these people.
Oh, man. Totally suckered.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
But listen to this. Verse 2 of chapter 5. But iniquity shall be increased above that which you now see or that you hast heard long ago. Now, this is way back when.
Beyond the pale.
And right. Look at what we have now.
Well, I can say, Pastor Steve, with my several trips, I've been back to Europe 4 or 5 times. And what I saw... Christianity had disappeared from Europe many decades ago, and basically unbelief. You have socialism. Europe has been taken over by socialism, which is soft core Judeo Bolshevism. Okay, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the Swedes, for example, Brother Michael talked about Sweden. He said all these Swedish women and even the Swedish men are, they just have all these socialistic ideas. They've had socialism and government this and government that for 40, 50 years.
That's the predecessor before the final big hammer comes down.
That's right. And it's coming down in the form of what? A Muslim rape fest.
Well, not just that. Internet censorship. They are trying everything that they can to shut us up.
That's right. That's right.
And you know who the enemy is by the fact that you're not allowed to talk about them.
Yeah. And the interdict, when the Catholic Church had, was going through all the superstitions and the lighting the candles and all the throwing shekels in the basket to get your dead relatives out of purgatory, they were also creating a situation where if you were a rebellious Catholic and did not want to obey their version of Christianity, they would put you under the interdict, which means you cannot buy or sell. Your relatives and friends would shun you, or otherwise the Catholic Church would do the same to them, right? Well, guess what's happening today, folks? The Jews are imposing the interdict on us. History is repeating itself, all right?
And well, if you don't think they'll get around to you, brothers and sisters, you better think again.
Right.
Yeah, they're hammering on us right now because we're up front on the battle line. We're on the forefront of the battle line.
Yeah.
We're right out there blowing in the breeze, just telling it like it is, putting ourselves at risk. You don't think we're at risk? Oh, please.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
And it's
if
a difficult...
it were not for the hedge of protection around us,
amen,
coming from Yahweh, we'd be touched by now.
So we do not have any fear. Yeah.
He won't let them touch us until it's his time.
Yes. Well, Yahshua said, when they come to persecute you, rejoice and be glad, because your redemption draweth nigh, right? So let me put it this way, Pastor Steve. You can't be a real Christian and fear death.
No, you can't. I mean, because we're going to be back.
Yeah, right. We're coming
and
back.
And they really don't want to believe that, because the Sadducees, which were right. also the Jews, they didn't believe in any resurrection. When you die, you die.
Right.
Well, right. for them,
they're
that's
like modern
true.
Atheists. Yeah.
They don't have a soul like the Adamic seed line does.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When it's over for them, it's over. There's no resurrection to punishment. They just die. They go out like if you blow out a candle. Poof. It's over.
Yeah.
It's out.
Yeah. So, as we were talking about on the previous show, we still try to reach out to these people because, you know, the Swedes and the Danes and the Norwegians and the Germans and the Brits, they're our kinsmen. And we want them to be awakened to the facts, awakened to Yahweh's truth, the truth of the Bible and the truth of the Caucasian people. But they have been so brainwashed, they've been so far turned aside, that this is the last thing on their minds. But Andrew Anglin is a good indication that some of these people do turn and come back to Yahweh. All right,
yeah,
are you with
us? He draws them one by one. We're not going to have a mega church or a big cathedral or gazillions of dollars invested.
No.
We're doing this out of our own pocket, hand to mouth. Bubblegum and bailing wire.
All right, so Pastor Howard, how are you seeing any change in, are you seeing more people coming to the truth where you're at?
Brother, just checking in. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, you're on here. Hey, how you doing, Greg?
Good, Brother Steve, Brother Eli. Yeah. Sorry it's a few minutes late tonight. I had grandson issues, and it's hard to keep a grandson to my schedule.
It's hard to change dirty diapers and do a show at the same time.
Well, he's out of diapers, but chasing the cat around. You remember that big cat I got?
Yeah, right.
Brothers, listen, I'm sorry about missing last week. Life got in the way. And
it has a bad habit of doing that, doesn't it?
What a time we're living in, and yet we're in the perfect book for this current moment. This book was written for this moment, by the way.
Oh, for sure.
This book was written for...
We're seeing that more and more.
This book is written for the end of this age and the ushering in of the eternal age.
Yeah.
That's the book we're in right now. And I love this book. This is an amazing, incredible, hidden book that was kept out of the Bible. By the way, I've grown to not like the term the Bible. I don't like the term the Bible anymore because it seems to put this thought in your head that this is all there is and there's nothing else.
Yeah.
And yet we have found that that is not the case.
Yeah.
And this book was purposely kept out of the Bible.
Right.
And hidden for Yahweh's elect people at the end of this age. And we are in the end of this age right now. We are seeing the most incredible things that maybe this planet has ever seen right now.
Well, here, to your point.
What's going on is incredible right now.
Greg, to your point, we just started chapter 5, reading verses 1 and 2, and you may want to back up and do a little review, but let me just read verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, as concerning the tokens, behold, the day shall come, that they which dwell upon the earth shall be taken in a great number, and the way of truth shall be hidden. Is it not hidden?
How true is that? The way of truth shall be hidden.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there's only
millions
a few
of our people would identify themselves as born again Christians in their church, faithfully serving, and yet the way of truth is hidden.
Yeah.
In fact, the way of truth is not just hidden. The way of truth is being reviled and destroyed and attacked. And anyone that speaks the truth is being shouted down with the voice of Jewish destruction.
Well, that's
the way of truth is hidden.
That born again is a catchphrase they've been taught.
Yeah, I know. Of course
it's
it
a
is.
False teacher.
And it's easy to remember, and they pick it up, and it's a mantra, monkey see, monkey do. They hear it over and over and over, and it buries itself in their brain, and they're going to quote that because they don't know any better.
How about white privilege?
They don't even bother to pick up a Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words.
What's that?
Which is the beginner level of Greek study.
Right.
And even Vine's will tell you that it doesn't mean being born again.
Yeah.
It means being born from above.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Having a divine spirit.
And you know what that really means? being born into the one race that is called to true salvation on this planet. And by the way, that's the white race.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that spirit was only blown into one race.
That's
the Adamic race, and then the subsection of the Adamic race that was chosen, which be the 12 tribes of Israel.
Exactly right, brother. The seed of Abraham.
That's right.
Exactly correct. And why we were so fortunate to be born into that, I don't know. I'm just glad I'm here. I'm glad embarrassed, my face turns red. When I get embarrassed, people go, ha, 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 ha. Greg, yeah. you should see your face. It's so red.
Right.
And I want to grab him and go, yeah, you wish your face was red like this.
I hope that doesn't happen to you too often, Greg.
Well, I do things occasionally. But my point is this, brothers. There is a single group of people on the planet called to eternal salvation. And we were not the ones that made up the plan. Yahweh did.
Yeah.
The creator of the universe came up with this plan.
Right.
And we were fortunate enough to be born into that divine race. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I've totally conquered my white guilt syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm
very
way,
good.
Way
very
over.
Good. Oh, say it ain't so.
I actually never had it, to be honest with you.
Oh, surely not.
And I never really had it. Yeah. I still wake up every morning and look in the mirror and go, wow, praise Yahweh, I'm white.
Yeah.
Yep. Praise Yahweh, I'm a white
you
man.
Me, you and me both. And I wake up ready for battle every
that's
morning.
That's right. what's
let's
fascinating.
Get back to the text. We had covered 1 and 2. Let me read 2, and we'll all comment on that. But iniquity shall be increased above that which you now see. And this is way back when.
Right.
Or that you have heard long ago. Well, we are in that situation, are we not, right now, when wickedness abounds, does it not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was just a couple of points, if I could back up into chapter 4. And again, I'm sorry I missed last week. There's just a couple of points that from my notes, Eli, the first time we went through this, there's so much. I tell you, this is one of the richest books ever written. But chapter 4 covers a couple of points that absolutely just define and confirm two seed line Christian identity. And if we look at chapter 4, verse 30, it says, for a grain of evil seed was sown in Adam's heart from the beginning, and how much ungodliness it has produced until now and will produce until the time of threshing comes, which is obviously the end of the age when the judgment comes. So in a single verse, the chronology covers from the time of Adam to the end of the age. So we're talking thousands of years are covered in a single verse. That's how amazing these prophetic books are, if you understand what's being said. And the grain of evil seed that was sown in Adam's heart was clearly the fall of Adam. The sin of Eve is referenced here indirectly. And the sin of Adam. Eve was seduced by a serpent to commit a sexual sin. And while Adam's sin is never actually broken down into what he did, it's safe to say his sin involved more than likely sex with a creature of another race. I don't know what else it could be if it wasn't
right.
that, because he had the same sense of sin, the sense of shame. He felt the need to cover his loins. Eve was beguiled. Adam probably willingly participated, because we're men. We're like running bull elks. I mean, we just want to step up to the plate and mount something. That's just the way it is. I hate to say it. Adam probably did that with some creature of another race, some exotic-looking demonic creature. Maybe she was Asian, Chinese, Japanese, who knows, Brazilian. Who can tell?
Right.
But Adam's sin was sexual. And from that time forward, our race was condemned to a relatively short lifespan. We were designed to live eternally, and yet we are born and we die. And we can thank Adam for that, yet we cannot blame him, because any of us in the same position would have also done the same thing. So, I mean, Adam probably was way more stronger and spiritual than any of us can even understand. Thus is the beguiling nature of the enemy to trick us. But what the point I'm trying to make here, as he goes on here, Ezra does, to reference the souls in the various chambers, those of our people that have gone on before us and died, they are awaiting in various chambers where Enoch detailed these in excellent detail. I don't have the references right in front of me, and I should. But Enoch went into detail on the various chambers of where the righteous go and where the unrighteous go. It's not like the Judeo-Christians and their pathetic, shallow, misunderstanding theology go, you know, where they come up to you and go, if you die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? There's not a single verse in all of the Bible that says when a Christian dies, he goes to heaven.
Right.
Not one.
That's correct.
Their understanding of theology, and believe me, I have 4 years of studying pathetic theology, and I have a degree in it, so I know how pathetic the theology is. Right. It's taken me years to wash it out of my head.
Right, right.
When we die, we do not go to heaven. We will likely never, ever, ever in eternity go to heaven. Our destiny is on this planet.
The kingdom.
And in various chambers based upon our relationship with Yahweh. And he talks here about the ones in the righteous that die, that go to a chamber for the righteous. And these ones are hastening for the age to end so they can, you know, come into the kingdom. And it's hard to blame them. We would be the same way. And the angel said to Ezra, you do not hasten faster than the Most High, faster than Yahweh, for your haste is for yourself. But the Highest hastens on behalf of many. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse.
All right.
Did not the souls of the righteous in their chambers ask about these matters, saying, how long are we to remain here? And when will the time, when will come the harvest of our reward? And if one of you brothers could look up, please, and read Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. There's a cross-reference in Revelation that plugs directly into this. And Enoch really gives us detail on these various chambers.
Yeah.
And Eli, if you remember the show where we got into where Enoch was being given the tour by the archangel of these chambers, and he looked over and saw someone praying, and he said, who is that one praying over there? And he said, that's Abel praying for the destruction of the seed line of Cain upon the earth.
Very good.
To me, that's one of the deepest verses in all of Scripture.
Yeah.
This is going on in the chambers where Abel isn't just sitting down there going, man, let's get this kingdom going. Yeah. He's actively praying for the destruction of the seed line of Cain upon the earth.
Yeah, it's an important
Revelation
point.
6, verse 10.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Read that.
Yeah.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Master, set apart and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, so John is referencing this exact situation that Ezra is referencing. This is the prayer of the righteous that have gone before us and died and that are in the chambers of the righteous.
Yes.
This is likely beneath the earth. It doesn't exactly say, but it kind of gives you that reference. These are the righteous that have gone before us that are actively praying for this age to come to an end.
All right. Let me jump in here because it's germane to what we were talking about on the previous hour, namely the Catholic Church's teaching on purgatory. The problem with the church's
total
teaching
nonsense.
Purgatory is that the Pope and the priests guarantee that these people in these various chambers can be raised, taken out of those chambers and put up somewhere and taken out of hell or out of purgatory or wherever and put into heaven. Just by
pay them money.
Yeah, as long as you pay up, right? Throw the shekels in the basket. And as far as we know, from what you're reading here, Pastor Howard, is that Abel's still down there praying. And that had,
absolutely.
But his prayer has not yet been answered, but boy, it's so close. It's so close. But also, I'm quoting from Amos 5, verses 18 through 20, the fearful day of Yahweh. And we don't want to We don't want to hasten. We don't want the judgment to occur on our terms, because this is what Amos 5 addresses. Woe to those who are craving the day of Yahweh. How is it to your benefit, this day of Yahweh? It is a day of darkness to you and not light. It will be like a man who runs from a lion only to encounter a bear, or who comes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a serpent bites him. Will not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light, pitch black at that, without a ray of sunshine? So be careful what you ask for, right? And this day is going to be so fearsome, we had better be ready. It's going to test us spiritually, mentally, physically, and every other kind of Lee. This is going to be a fearsome, fearsome day. Back to you, Greg.
Well, when Yahshua comes back, and all of this is going to come down, the remnant that are redeemed will be taken up with him and will come back armed.
Very good.
Okay?
Yes.
Our bodies will be changed. We cannot be harmed. They can shoot bullets at us all day long, and we will have flaming swords. And they are in real deep trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the day of the wrath of Yahweh, and all the saints will come back. Not just us that are living right now of the remnant, but we will join all the rest, and we will have divine messengers with us, like Sodom and Gomorrah angels. Okay? And it's going to be ugly. But not for us.
Right.
Not for us.
This is why, there's that verse at the end of the book of Revelation, if you are evil, be evil still. If you are righteous, be righteous still. There comes a point where it's too late and you can't repent anymore. So,
that's when grace period ends.
Yeah, the grace period comes to an end. So, you better be ready. Do your repenting now, folks. Do it now. Because the day is soon here when you won't be able to. Back to you, Greg.
Yeah, brothers, you know, this matter of, you know, the chambers of the righteous are just so profound. You know, the fact that these ones that have gone before us are down there praying right now, and Steve read that verse from Revelation chapter 6. I mean, there are millions of our people that have died before us that are praying to Yahweh to end this age. And, you know, we're in the confusion and the chaos and the insanity of the current moment. You know, they actually understand what's going on. You know, we're living day to day, and we're in the middle of the battle. But we know that there are millions of our saints, our brethren, that have gone before us and are praying.
You know what that verse about the chambers brings to mind to me, Greg?
What, brother?
Is the description of the temple. When they built the temple, and they built all those chambers on the sides when they built the physical stone temple, and when they were going to stop using the open tent tabernacle, when they built the first temple, they built all those chambers on the sides for all the priests. They had all those chambers. Well, that's where these people are waiting. They are as priests and kings, and they have their own chambers. That's what it says to me. They're not like little rooms where they're locked in and they're prisoners. Sure. And they don't have any physical needs, really. I wouldn't think so.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's just pure
spirit. So they are in chambers where they are, and they can probably go out and meet and assemble in prayer, because group prayer is highly effective.
Yes.
And see, we really just don't. There's so much we don't know that far outweighs what we do know.
Oh, you got
that
right.
But if Yahweh's hand is in it, which it is, it's someplace good. It's a waiting ground. They don't have to be prayed out or bought out of purgatory. Pardon me. They're not being punished. They are saints. The others that are not saints sleep in the earth. And they will be resurrected to the second death. All of Adam will be resurrected. Some to eternal life, some to the second death. Because who's the worst enemy that we've got? And it's not even the Jews. It's the white people that they have turned against the other white people.
Incredible.
Because we are the biggest warriors on the planet, and they've got the biggest, baddest warriors that are going to come after us. And they have used us to kill each other. How many times in history? We're always fighting among ourselves, and who's behind all of it making the profit?
Yeah.
The Jews don't go out and fight us. They hire it done.
Yeah. They couldn't face us straight up. They we'd slaughter them in a minute.
Jews are cowards. Even their military is nothing but cowards.
I know.
They just kill innocent civilians, unarmed civilians. When they face an armed resistance, they get the crap beat out of them. The Lebanese and the Syrians.
I found the verses I was looking for in Enoch referencing these chambers of our righteous ones that have gone before us. This is Enoch 1, chapter 22, where Enoch was being given a personal tour by the archangel Raphael. And he was being shown the chambers where the souls of the righteous go and the souls of the unrighteous. And so he's going through this
segregated
tour.
Right.
And this is chapter 22, and this is Enoch talking. He goes, "And thence I went to another place, and the mountain of hard rock, and there was in it four hollow places, deep and wide and very smooth. How smooth are the hollow places, and deep and dark to look at. Then Raphael answered one of the holy angels who was with me, and said unto me, these hollow places have been created for this very purpose, that the spirits of the souls of the dead should assemble therein, yea, that all the souls of the children of men should assemble here, and these places have been made to receive them till the day of their judgment, until their appointed period, till the great judgment comes upon them. I saw the spirit of a dead man making suit," means praying, "and his voice went forth to heaven and made suit. And I asked Raphael the angel who was with me, and I said unto him, this spirit which maketh suit, whose is it? Whose voice goeth forth and maketh suit to heaven? And he answered me, saying, this is the spirit which went forth from Abel, whom his brother Cain slew, and makes his suit against him." Now, please pay attention to this wording. "And makes his suit against him till his seed is destroyed from the face of the earth, and his seed is annihilated from amongst the seed of men."
Obadiah.
These are the most Malachi. Profound verses I think I've ever read. You want to think two-seed-line Christian identity is some kind of racist ideology? Brothers and sisters, this is true Bible Christianity, what we believe.
That's right.
There's an evil seed line on the earth dedicated to our destruction. And Abel is praying from the time he was slain to the time of the return of Yahshua Christ that an entire seed of people is exterminated from this planet. Obviously, this prayer has not yet been answered.
Yes. Yep.
But it will be.
It will be.
Oh,
yeah, mine reads a little bit differently. Who publishes this one? This is Richard Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm reading Eris Charles. Yeah, Lawrence is also very good. Read what he says, brother.
Yeah, so, you covered it. It's almost the same.
Yeah.
It's just slight differences, so we don't need to nitpick.
So, you know, what an interesting point. Judeo-Christianity is sitting there praying for the salvation of the Jews, whereas Abel is sitting there praying for the extermination of every Jewish soul that's ever been on the planet. Which side would you rather be on, brother? Judeo-Christianity trying to save these demonic creatures?
Well, they are so deluded, Greg.
I know.
They
it's ridiculous.
And that hurts me so badly because a lot of these people are nice people.
I agree.
And they're well-meaning, and they'll help the poor and do everything in the community.
And yet they'll turn against their own kind in a second.
When they're told to, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
They are a mystery. I have a heart for them. I don't have a heart for anybody else on the planet except my own kind.
Right.
And my own kind that are deceived, I still have a heart for them.
Well, the amazing thing is they accuse us of being haters when we're actually praying for them, for their eyes to be opened. Right.
Well, what they don't understand.
We hate. We hate evil. We hate the evil one and his minions and his works.
What they don't understand is deep down we're really lovers. I'm not a hater. Do I have hate in my heart? Oh, yeah, I do. But deep down.
Children, right? Righteous hate.
Deep down, I am a lover.
All right. If I'm out in the middle of the tribulation when it's full bore and we've had to leave, and one of these poor people and his family comes into one of our camps. Oh, we're starving and we're hurt and we're burned and it's just horrible. I'm not going to turn them away. I'm going to help.
Of course not.
I'm going to help those people. And I'm going to teach them the word right there. Now, listen, this is why you've suffered what you've suffered. This is what's going on.
Yahweh will likely be saving some of our kindred up until the final moment of the end of the age.
Yeah, it's his call.
I can't imagine it differently.
It's that's why I'm assembling my Go Kit. And I have a lot of extra medical supplies. I'm going to have a lot of extra everything for people that are just absolutely caught blowing in the breeze.
Amen, brother.
And it's a disaster, and I'm going to be able to help some people.
Amen.
You know?
That inspires me. Because I don't have such a kit, and I need one.
my wake-up call show tomorrow is the start of, it's a prepper list, part one. I'm going to be doing, on wake-up calls, it's going to be a prepper list all month. Part one, part two, part three.
Right.
I'm giving detailed information.
I'm tuning in. I need help. I got guns. I got whiskey. I got protein bars. I got Band-Aids. That's, I mean, clearly.
That's good lyrics for a rock song. I got guns. I got protein bars. I got whiskey.
My gosh. I got fishing. I know
born
how to catch
for the judgment
fish.
Day. Yeah.
Well, I know how to eat them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got mini fishing gear. I got a takedown fishing rod that collapses. It's real small and goes in a little pack.
Yeah.
And little,
Greg
little
can teach you how to fish.
With all the little hooks and the sinkers and the bobbers and all the little stuff. It's something that'll go in a backpack and be easy to carry.
So if things got really desperate, would you eat a catfish?
Hasn't got scales, right?
I
think Yahweh will provide us with the food.
I agree. Don't even answer, brother.
I will be very circumspect about that because I know what they eat.
Yeah,
I know.
Right.
Ooh.
Okay, General. Let's get back to
In that
let's get back to second
Yahweh
Esdras.
Yahweh will provide something with fins and scales.
Right. Yep. There you go.
I agree.
Let's get back, unless you have any cross-references left for Chapter 4.
Well, brother, the only I just want to make that comment, that how touching that as Enoch is being given a tour of the places where the souls of the dead have gone, Yahweh providentially
I can
shows
picture
him
Abel.
And he records for us
Abel
praying for the extermination of the entire seed line of Cain.
I can
not
picture
just
that.
Cain who killed him, but the seed line of Cain.
Yeah.
Because let's give Abel some credit. He has gone on before us. He now understands that Eve, his mother, was seduced. A seed line of creatures was planted on the earth. It wasn't just his so-called brother, who wasn't really his brother. It wasn't so much
half-brother
Cain that killed him. But Cain planted a seed line of demonic creatures on the planet. And Abel, from that time to our current moment in time, I believe, has prayed for the extermination of a seed line of people that we know by the name of Jew. And once in a while, when I'm in a particularly spiritual mood, which doesn't happen often enough, I join in with Abel's prayer.
Amen.
And I pray also for the extermination of this seed line that Abel is praying for. And I have prayed with this brother numerous times. And I tell you, my spirit is joined with him.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to say it.
This is expounded upon in the book of Obadiah.
Yes.
Clearly.
Which book is that, brother?
Obadiah.
Obadiah.
Oh. I'm sorry.
To you English.
Obadiah,
English.
I know well.
Ichabodiah.
No, not Ichabodiah. You are.
I get a demerit.
Demerit for that.
Yeah. One demerit, right.
But,
okay. I would like to proceed to chapter 5.
What a prayer to join into.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're ever not sure what to pray about,
jump
Psalm 91 in
and
with
Abel.
The prayer of Abel. Exterminate the evil seed line from the earth,
Amen.
And you will be welcome. Your prayer will be added to the heavenly fire of prayers that
Amen.
Are being offered up
Amen.
On the altar.
Yeah.
We need to get back to chapter 5 here.
Yeah. Let me quote verses 2 and 3. But iniquity shall be increased above that which thou now seest, and it was bad in his day, or that thou hast heard long ago. And the land that thou seest now to have root shalt thou see wasted suddenly. Okay? So this has happened several times in our past, that our kingdoms have been suddenly wasted. And there's only one reason why. It's because we failed to be a righteous people. Okay? And so the same thing has happened to Europe. Europe used to be faithful Christians. You know, their faith wasn't perfect. But because they strayed, you see now socialism and communism and multiculturalism instituted by you-know-who. And now America, it's taken us a lot longer to go down that path, but America has gone down that path too. And as I was saying earlier, I saw Europe become secularized and anti-Christian, and America has become that way too. And even the Judeo-Christians are barely Christians at all. The faith they have.
This is like the apostasy of Israel, which went first, the northern 10 tribes.
Yes.
In Samaria went first, and they had the golden calves, and they had all the idols and all the other stuff. Well, they got sent off into captivity before Yehuda and Benjamin, Binyamin, Judah and Benjamin, they hung on a little longer, but then they went, and they went so far as to have idols on the roofs of their houses that they prayed to, and that's why Nebuchadnezzar burned the entire city of Jerusalem. Yahweh wanted the houses burnt because they were places of pagan worship.
Right.
Well, we've hung on a little longer than Europe has.
Yes, a little.
And now the apostatization of this nation is egregious.
Yes.
It is absolutely horrible. And now we are seeing the wrath come in on us.
Amen.
And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And we're going to see all this stuff that Europe's seeing right now. We're going to follow right after them in this punishment.
Yeah.
You got that right, brother.
Yeah.
We're under judgment right now. We're being judged, and we're paying the price for our apostasy. And Yahweh's continuing to call his elect to him. But in the meantime, it's going to get crazy as hell around us in the coming days.
Yes.
You know?
Now, verse 4.
Look at verse 4 here.
Okay, well, you read it, Pastor Steve.
But if the Most High, that's speaking of Yahweh, grant you to live, you shall see after the third trumpet that the sun shall suddenly shine again in the night and the moon three times in the daylight. Whoa! And verse 5, and blood shall drop out of wood, and the stone shall give his voice, and the people shall be troubled. The stones will sing the vibrational patterns, where the stones will actually howl. That happens during volcanic activity.
And a lot of people have heard that already. It's like a shofar.
Shrieking people The shrieking stones are precursors of a volcanic blast.
The shofar. Yahweh's shofar.
Oof.
There'll be a warning.
And even he shall rule, for they look not for that dwell upon the earth. And the fowls shall take their flight away together. And the Sodomitish sea shall cast out fish. That's the sea of Sodom.
Right. The Sodomites.
I make a noise in the night, which many have not known, but they shall all hear the voice thereof. When the water is troubled and there's going to be a volcanic blast again, the water boils, it'll cast out all the fish, it'll make horrible noises from under the water. This is documented scientific fact, what'll happen. Verse 8, there shall be a confusion also in many places.
Yep.
And the fire shall be oft sent out again, and the wild beasts shall change their places, and menstruous women shall bring forth monsters.
Wow. We
got to talk about that for a minute.
Fire shall be sent out again. That's volcanism.
Well,
we're going to have volcanic eruptions.
Half of the West Coast is on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
And wild beasts shall roam beyond their haunts. I don't know if you saw this morning, but they actually shot and killed a tiger roaming the streets of Atlanta. I don't know if that's a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yeah,
but got out of the zoo, huh?
A tiger was shot in Atlanta. And this phrase, menstruous women shall bring forth monsters. And I made a note of that, Eli, the first time we went through this, that this is just nothing other than a reference to race mixing.
Yep.
Women bringing forth monsters. What does that mean? That means white women bringing forth children fathered by other races.
It could also be chimeras, because we know that they're performing experiments in these death and life labs, right? They're experimenting with race mixing, human and animal mixing. They're doing these kinds of experiments.
That's right.
Right?
You know, this is the evil of our time, where the technology, likely supplied by fallen angel technology, I would think, from the past, the fallen angels brought evil to the earth, and their influence is still here among the Jews, and they are just introducing continual evil and destruction to this earth.
Well, all of this prophecy that they're talking about right now, and they're messing around. Now, Doc Waterman has had shows on what's going down on in Antarctica, the South Pole, with the mountains. That is a continent. That is not an ice flow.
Oh, that's a real
like
continent.
The North
Pole.
There's land below that. And they're trying to get to this mountain, and these guys are going to mess around and open up something. I mean, we just keep shooting ourselves in the foot. They're going to mess around with something they don't need to be messing with down there. And all of this stuff is going to come to pass, and these inner earth beings are going to be released. And they've done soundings and stuff. There are hollow places within the earth. And some places out in the western United States have hollow places where Nephilim are still living.
Yeah.
And they've documented, they've taken photographs, they've shown the skeletons. They come into certain towns and get stuff. And the people just stay away from them. They just walk into stores and take whatever they want and then leave, and they're glad to see them gone.
Yeah, right. You're not talking about blacks, though, are you?
You're walking around in a grocery store, and some 10-foot guy comes in and starts loading up. Are you going to say, no, you can't do that? I guess you won't.
Yeah.
And these people, they're horrible looking. These people are scared of them. And the local sheriff's department won't talk about it.
Right.
They won't discuss it.
Yeah.
and the national news media absolutely suppresses it.
Yeah. But when you read this...
We've got stuff coming that people are not ready for because they've been kept ignorant.
Right, yes.
Deliberately.
Yeah, narrow-mindedness, both liberal narrow-mindedness and Judeo-Christian narrow-mindedness are the order of the day. You know, they have got tunnel vision. And Shakespearean?
And out fear.
Yes, right, yeah.
Okay. I don't want to know.
There's more to this world than is dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatio. Right? Yeah. But this expression...
Well, they're going to find out. They're going to know when the time comes whether they want to know or not. Yes. Doesn't matter what they want.
But when you read this expression, the Sodomitish Sea, what I saw there was
a sea of Sodom,
right.
And there was Sodom salt, which was toxic.
Uh-huh.
And
toxicity.
The salt sea what they call the Dead Sea.
Right.
And that's the note I have as well. I have a note that it's the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And the Sodom Sea, that water is toxic.
Well, what are they doing to the oceans? What are they doing
to the oceans? The fish in there are not good to eat.
Yeah.
That the salt cannot be used like table salt. It has toxic properties to it.
Yeah.
It's poisonous.
Well, this is a prophecy that the seas and the lakes and the rivers will become so poisonous thanks to...
Well, that particularly is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Dead Sea, 7 of 9. That has
drained
so much. You see, the Jordan River feeds into that, and they have tapped so much water out of the Jordan, all the countries that the Jordan flows through, that it's just down to a trickle, and the sea is evaporating faster than it can be replenished by the water.
Right. It's a sea of
salt
now.
So it is down 20-some feet now,
yeah,
and there's just huge... ice or salt crystals, etc., 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 and the saline content is so high that you could float a brick in it. really. Mm-hmm. And people that try, you know, they used to take pictures. You could just float; wouldn't have to have a air mattress or anything like that.
Okay.
People that try that now, they're getting severe burns.
Right. Okay, verse 9.
We got 2 minutes. It's not
verse 9. Verse 9, and salt water shall be found in the sweet. What have we been just talking about? All right.
There you go.
Okay.
Brackish waters.
Right. Right. And the verse ends, and all friends shall destroy one another. Then shall wit hide itself, and understanding withdraw itself into his secret chamber. In other words, wit and understanding shall leave the human species.
Yeah, common sense. Yeah, common sense. Not going
to be common. Well, it's hard to find, folks. All right. This is an outstanding book of prophecy. We'll get back to this again next week. Thanks for listening, folks. Yahweh's covenant people. May Yahweh
praise
be
Yahweh,
with
brothers.
You. And we'll see you next
Shalom
time.
Shalom aleichem to my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.